Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Thursday, March 1st, 2018, and I think we've got a really cool show for you today. This one is a bit different. I'm very fortunate throughout the course of what I do to meet any number of brilliant folks, and I thought you should get a chance to meet them too. So beginning today, I'm going to pepper in our usual discussions and our usual episodes with the odd interview. We're not changing the format of the show. It's not going to become all interviews all the time, but there are just some really awesome people out there that you deserve to hear from. And I would be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to hear directly from them. So today I'm going to be talking with Mike Moran. Now, Mike is a longtime friend of mine. We've been friends for the better part of 10 years, and he's the co-author of the best-selling book, Search Engine Marketing, Inc. He's also the author of the acclaimed internet marketing book, Do It Wrong Quickly, How the Web Changes the Old Marketing Rules, which was named one of the best business books of 2007 by the Miami Herald. And his latest book is called Outside In Marketing, Using Big Data to Guide Your Content Marketing, which he co-authored with James Mathewson. Mike also is the senior strategist for a company called Solo Segment, which is something I've been working on for the last handful of months as well. And just a really sharp guy, long background. He's a former IBM Distinguished Engineer. He has a great background in content marketing, search, AI, and digital marketing generally. So I thought it would really be fun to have a conversation with him and to share that conversation with all of you. So without any further ado, I'm going to switch over to the interview, a conversation Mike and I had a couple of weeks ago, and then I'll catch up with you at the end to remind you of all the good stuff we do here at Thinks Out Loud. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Mike Moran. Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here, Tim.
So can you start with how you got started with content marketing?
I think it's more like how content marketing got started with me. Because it hasn't let go of me yet. Because I was working in on IBM.com back in, I think it started in like 1998. And nobody really was talking about content marketing back then. So I think I was just hanging around the industry as it went from web marketing to digital marketing. And now everybody's talking about content marketing. And so Bill Hunt and I wrote a book in 2005 on search marketing, which was generously received. And I think a lot of the things that we talked about in that book are really the things that people talk about as content marketing now. I think that back then, search marketing, especially SEO, search engine optimization, was considered to be a set of hacks that you use to trick Google and kind of take all these shortcuts right, to kind of fool people into seeing your content. And our book was really focused on the fact that search marketing is more about marketing than search. And so we had all those interesting technology things in there, but we never treated them as hacks. We always treated them as, here's how you reach your customer. Here's how your customer finds you. Here's how you get on the same page as your customer. And so I think we were talking about things that right now people would call content marketing even back then, but no one was using that word.
Got it. Now, that's really interesting because what I found most interesting about the book and our discussions over the years is, you know, lots of people talk about the importance of paid search and SEO, but you also talk a lot about website search and how website search plays an important role in content marketing and making your company work more effectively, right? So why is website search differently and why should companies focus on website search specifically?
I think that I was working in website search before I was working in search marketing back when I was at IBM because it always struck me that the people you already had on your site were better qualified than the people you were trying to get to come there. And there are a lot of statistics that kind of prove this out, where if you look at the conversion rates for people who do a site search, they are, depending on which written report or study you want to believe, anywhere from 43% to 600% higher conversion rates for people who search on your site than people who don't. And so then there's a number of different things out there that show this. They all say that searchers are better qualified than people who don't search. And if you think about it for more than a second, you can probably come up with why that is. Because if you think about what happens when someone comes to your website, if they land on your website and they look around a little bit and they don't find what they're looking for, most of them just leave. They might go back to Google. Right. They go somewhere else. They do something because they're just not that into you. You know, and so think about the people who stick around and search. They really think that you're the one they want to buy from. They really think you're the one that has the answer to their question. They really are into you. And so you can imagine that it's almost like the act of searching is what qualifies them as being a better lead than not searching. And so it's not that search is so good on most of these sites that people convert more. It's actually the opposite. Most of the time, the search is pretty bad. But the fact that the people who want to search are your best customers is the very reason to work on it.
Right. They're really committed to the process, right? They really need to find that answer.
Right. And so
that's such a good point.
Think about whether you really would like to continue to ignore them or whether you'd like to help them find what they're looking for.
Right. So you said a moment ago, it's not because site search is so effective. In fact, the opposite is true. What makes website search so difficult to do well?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, right? One of them is that marketers don't really think about site search as being part of their job. They think it's the job of the tech team. And you'll ask them and say, so why does the IT team in charge of site search? And they'll say, well, because it's technology. And you say, well, okay. So you don't have like a content management system on your site, or you don't have like e-commerce, or you don't have any of those technologies on your site, right? Oh, no. We have all that stuff. It's like, well, right. Okay. Well, how come the IT team isn't in charge of what all the pages look like on your site? Like, oh my, what are you kidding me? They would have no idea what kind of message to give to the client. I said, so how come the site search results page, which is probably one of the most viewed pages on your site, how come you put them in charge of the messaging for that? And they kind of get these kind of odd looks on their faces. Some of them drool. And at that point, you try and kind of help them and say, look, this is where a lot of your customers are hanging out. And why is it that you're letting the IT team do this? And this is nothing against the IT team, because I've been a longtime IT person. IT people are really smart. They're just not really smart at marketing, because it's not their job. And so they're going to make sure that your search engine actually works. They'll make sure that, you know, when you search for something, you get a results page back. But they have no idea whether those are good results. They have no idea whether people like those results, whether they click on them, whether they buy anything after they see them, because that's not what IT people do. That's what marketers do. And so as marketers, we kind of have to step up and say, no, this is our job to make sure that the right stuff's showing up there, that the content is optimized properly, that the search engine's actually finding the right things. And that's intimidating for marketers, because they don't know how to make the search engine find the right thing. So a lot of times they'll say, oh, you know, our search engine stinks. And it's like, okay, I get that it stinks, but what are we going to do about it? And the problem is that they don't know what to do about it. So I think part of the reason that marketers kind of shrink from this is that it's kind of human nature that you don't want to really think about a problem that you don't know how to solve. You kind of like want to be in denial about it, because it just makes you feel stupid, right? And like a failure. And so,
Right.
And so I think, you know, understandably, marketing people who don't know what to do about a bad search don't want to spend any time focusing on it. And they're happy to have the IT team be in charge of it, because they wouldn't know what to do if they were in charge of it. So a lot of times what we do is we try and help them understand, look, there really are things to do. There are things that the marketers can do. There are things that you can get the content organizations to do. And there are things that you can work with the IT team to do. And a lot of the times that's what we do when we're brought into the situation, is we help with all those areas to really make things work better.
So, you know, in without giving away, you know, the all taking everybody behind the curtain and giving away all your secrets, you know, what are just a couple of things that you'd recommend marketers who are running their website search programs ought to be doing different?
So I think the biggest thing is analytics. Very few companies treat site search as an experience, a user experience, just like everything else they do. So if you think about the way you treat content and the way you treat pages, we're constantly doing A/B testing to see if we can make pages better, see if we can get people to click through, see which pages are correlated with conversion, how do we drive more leads by improving our content. We're always doing that. You need to take the same approach with site search. So you need to put analytics on the page. You need to say, what are the searches that are getting the most popular usage, right? So which are the keywords people are typing in the most? What happens when they type them in? Are they actually getting results for those keywords? Are they clicking on the results? Are they sticking with those pages? Are they actually converting after they see that stuff, right? So if you could figure out all of those things and you would start measuring who's being successful, then what you can do is you can start to do A/B testing, where you're testing different configurations of your search engine. You can be testing changes to the user interface. You can be testing changes to the content. You can test all sorts of things and continuously improve, so that now that you have analytics that tell you whether people are being successful or not, now you can start making changes and see those analytics get better. Or if they get worse, then you back it off and you go back to what you had, right? The same way you do that kind of data-driven improvement with any other kind of content marketing.
But it does sound a lot like one of those, you know, what you can't measure, you can't manage kinds of things.
It definitely is. And one of the problems is that if you use your basic web analytics package, you can't measure this. It'll count things. But it won't really tell you for any particular search session whether the searcher was successful. It basically just counts things like what people are searching for. It can count things like clicks. But if somebody searches for something and then they click on something, they bounce back to the search results page, they click on something else, they bounce back again, they click on something else, and then they abandon your site. Was that a successful search? Because kind of it looks like you got three clicks. Boy, this is great, right?
Right.
But it kind of isn't.
Well, you know what's interesting about this is, you know, especially how you tie all this together. When we've talked about this, I've always found this interesting. You know, we live in an era where we have Google's not provided, right? We don't know what people search for when they came to the website a lot of times, because Google makes that hard to see. And here's a case where they're telling us directly on our site, and you can then use that data and what's working and the like to improve not only your on-site search, but your content, your SEO, and your paid search. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, one of the ways of thinking about this is that your site search is this kind of open-ended survey of asking your customers what they're interested in. I mean, people pay a lot of money for that kind of data, and they usually ignore it with site search, right? So I mean, there's all sorts of people out there doing surveys and polls and all sorts of things. What do people want? What do our customers want, right? And well, I got a real easy way to find out, right? What the heck are they typing into your search box? Because not only is that stuff they want, but it's also stuff that they really think you have. And it can be eye-opening sometimes, some of the things they type in that you don't have, where you really don't have content on something. I mean, one of the things that we find almost universally, I'm not sure if there's some kind of state law that governs this, but it's almost impossible for people to find, for example, a fax number for your company.
Oh, sure.
Now, more and more companies don't have fax numbers, but we've done a lot of work with companies in the insurance industry where they, for legal requirements, you have to sign papers and actually fax them back to them. You can't just scan it and email it.
Right.
And I'm not sure why the regulations are like this, but they are. And God bless you if you could find their fax number anywhere on the site. And people were typing this in, getting no results. And this is going on hundreds and hundreds of times a day with some of these really large companies. And that's just one that's kind of universal. But the thing that's true is that with every client we work with, there's some set of searches where people are typing them fairly commonly, and they're either getting no results or they're not clicking on any of the results. And sometimes there are whole classes of things that people are looking for. We have one client where there's a whole bunch of numbers that people are typing in constantly. And you would look at them and say, what are those? And so you go to the client and you say, what are those things? Said, oh, those are, you know, and they gave some technical name for what that is. So that's what they're looking for. And we said, okay, so where are they? Oh, well, you have to sign in before you can look at those. So, you know, they don't find anything. And we said, okay, but, you know, what do you think they do when they search for that and they can't find it? And they're like, well, they probably call us up. I'm like, okay, well, how much do you think that's costing you?
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
Wouldn't it be a little better if we said, if we brought up a screen that said, hey, how about if we think you're looking for one of these? If you are, can you click here? And then we can let them sign in, and then we can pass that along to whatever the next step in the process is that actually finds the thing they're looking for. And so it's just by treating all this as an experience that you start to figure out how you're going to make people more successful. But think about what a better experience that is for your brand. And so a lot of the times we're working with marketers and the idea is to grow revenue, right? Get better leads, close more sales, those types of things. But sometimes it's a customer experience around support where they're already your customer and they're getting agitated and irritated about not being able to find something that they're looking for, which to them seems perfectly reasonable that you have on your website. And sometimes you just don't have any content on it at all, but other times it's behind a firewall. There's other times where the content is there, but there's some reason it's not getting into your site search index. And so there's all sorts of problems that can be eliminated. And so sometimes the return on investment is higher revenue. Sometimes return on investment is lower support costs where we're avoiding calls. I mean, we
Or greater customer satisfaction, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's harder to measure. But one client we had not only improved revenue every year by $9 million, but they cut support costs by $20 million. And it was the marketers who were paying for this. They weren't even trying to cut support costs. But it's like, hey, well, it just happened because we started to see what people are looking for and we fixed it.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. That's awesome. So this is great. I have a question. One of the things that always fascinates me when we talk is your thoughts about how artificial intelligence will begin to shape this as well. So, you know, looking forward just a little bit into the future, what role is AI going to play as we go forward in content marketing, in website search, both?
AI is, it's kind of like asking what role will data play, right? Because the answer is it'll play hundreds of different roles, right?
Right.
But I mean, if I could just pick out a few things that I think are going to happen really fast, I believe that you are going to see AI as part of ranking algorithms for site search engines, where they start to do a better job of what they call searcher intent. So these are things that Google and Bing and Baidu and all the internet search engines already do. They already figure out that if you're searching for sale, you're looking for something different than if you search for sales. They've just figured this out. If you search for sale, you are trying to buy something. But if you search, but if you search for sales, then you might be trying to get a job as a salesperson, right? And so, so they just have figured this out. Even though they seem like they're exactly the same word, they're kind of not. And so that's something that that AI has done a lot of work with, and I think you're going to start to see that stuff creep down into site search engines, just as they're in the big internet search engines today. The other place that I think AI is really going to jump out in content marketing is that today, if you use something like A/B testing, you're forced to kind of think up what you think would work and try it. And there's nothing wrong with that because most of us have pretty good imaginations and we can come up with lots of ideas. But where I think AI is really going to start to play a role is that it's going to be able to help you understand what kinds of things you ought to test. So, for example, we've been doing some work with some clients where we've been analyzing their pages for their bounce rate. And so you might imagine that some pages have higher bounce rates than others, and you always want to lower your bounce rate. So if you lower your bounce rate, then you keep more people in play, and that's going to eventually raise your conversion rate. So that's all well and good, but you know, how do you do that? So how do you lower your bounce rate? Well, most of the time what people do is they look at pages they have that have low bounce rates, and then they look at pages that have high bounce rates, and they kind of squint a little, stare them down and say, you know, well, why don't we make this page more like that one? Mm-hmm. The problem is, like, more like that one in what way?
Right.
And you kind of don't know. And so the place that AI, I think, can really help is because it's such an immense pattern recognition engine, it can look at a whole slew of pages that have low bounce rates and a slew of pages that have high bounce rates and kind of tell you which are the features on those pages that are correlated with that. So is it possible that the page is shorter that has lower bounce rates, mm-hmm, or maybe mm-hmm. it's longer, or maybe it has fewer calls to action, or maybe it has more calls to action, or maybe it has more photos, or maybe it has fewer photos. And so you can imagine that there are thousands and thousands of these features
right.
that are just some kind of characteristic of the page, more than any person could ever be able to analyze. And so the machine's really good at that, actually. And so what it can do is it can then start to give you suggestions that says, we think you should try something like this. This looks like something that if you change this, it would matter. And so this is different than kind of following best practices, because best practices, first of all, are limited in the number of features they can look at. But the other thing that's true is that best practices are designed to be good for everybody. And what you can do with machine learning and other kinds of AI is you can take your exact data, your exact content, so your exact customers, and come up with the patterns there. So it's not coming up with some kind of generic good advice that seems to work for some people.
Right.
It's coming up with exact advice that appears to work for you, for your customers.
That's fantastic, Mike. All right, I just have a couple last questions for you, Mike. But before I do, if people want to learn more about the work you're doing, where can they go to find information about that?
So most of the stuff we've been talking about today is things that Solo Segment does. So it's SOLOSEGMENT, solosegment.com. And Solo Segment does all this work on site search that we talked about. And it's also working with clients on the content analytics that employ artificial intelligence, like we were talking about just a moment ago. And there's also a blog that I run called Biznology, BIZNOLOGY.com, which has a daily post on marketing, usually content marketing. So people who are looking to get up to speed on content marketing or just learning about what the trends are, that's a place they can go as well.
Great. Fantastic. Now, I have to come to a close with two last questions. The first one is my sort of consulting 101 question that I love asking everybody, which is, what haven't I asked you that I should have?
I think the only thing that we didn't really talk about when it comes to site search is that I think marketers are really intimidated by site search, and they think that somehow they're not up to it. And that's entirely untrue. Any more than you're not up to things like A/B testing, or you're not up to things like making sure your content is good. I mean, those are all things that require technology, and people, I think, are intimidated by the search technology, but you don't have to understand how the technology works. You just have to understand what kinds of things you can do with it. So what are the kinds of tweaks that we can make? What are the levers to pull? What are the buttons to press? Same way you do with every other kind of technology. So even though search seems like it's this really deep technical thing, which it is, you're already dealing with a lot of other deep technical things. You've just gotten more comfortable with it. So I think the biggest thing to me is just don't be intimidated by the technology. Just go ahead and say, hey, we need to make this work. And I don't understand the technology, but I'll get people who do.
That's great. That's great. And you may have asked this, you may have answered this already, but I'm going to ask anyway. What would be your number one takeaway for people listening to this interview? What would you want them to know?
I think what I'd want them to know is that you can fix site search even if you've tried before and it didn't work. And the main way that you do that is by treating it as an experience and measuring it. So if you measure the experience and you constantly make changes and you remeasure and remeasure and you're constantly looking at how it's improving based on what you did, that's the road to success. And so it's not different from all the other things you do in content marketing. You do different things, but you measure it and you follow the exact same process. And the truth is, these are your best customers. So you're going to get results when you focus here. So I would say that's the major thing. Treat it as an experience, measure it as an experience, and just treat this as a constant improvement program that's just as important as all the other improvement programs you do in content marketing.
That seems like a perfect place to leave it for today. Mike, thanks so much for your time. I'd really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. This was fun.
And there you have it, Big Fingers. Thank you for your attention today and for your time. Looking at the clock on the wall, we are really out of time. This was a longer episode than normal, but it was, I think, a really great conversation, and hopefully you do as well. I will remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast, and you can find the show notes for this episode, as well as all our past episodes there. Just look for episode 214. You can also subscribe to Thinks Out Loud while you're there, and have it delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single week. You can also find us in your favorite podcatcher at iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or plain old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And while you're there, if you could take a moment and give us a positive rating and review, I would really appreciate it. That would be really fantastic. You can also contact me by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter, or via email using the email address podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that is podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks again to Mike Moran for being a guest here on the show, and thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a wonderful week ahead, and I will look forward to speaking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, take care, everybody.